And this is what happened, huh? It's good now. Hey, for those that didn't get to hear it and now they're hearing it, we had some technical difficulties. Well, praise God. He is the King of Kings, isn't he? He's the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. But as I was driving to work, and you know how I am and how my mind is, and I think about, in the last 30 years of my life and how many different things that, I ask questions. I don't question God. I always ask God questions, right? And sometimes, we just don't always get the answers for many, many years. And you might talk about a certain verse and you might think about a certain verse and you might, all these things. But all of a sudden, one day when you're totally thinking or reading or meditating about something else, all of a sudden the Spirit just comes and he gives you understanding. And the reason that works is because, like Paul wrote, he said that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. That God would lighten us up or wake us up to what he's really saying and what he's really doing. And I mean, in a matter of like seconds, all of a sudden this whole thing began to come to me of what God wanted me to share. And I know you've heard me say many of these things over the past, but the thing that we have to understand is, what does God really want? What has he always really wanted? I mean, before Adam ever messed up in the garden and fell, God was after something, wasn't he? He made man, right? He created man for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was so that he could come and live inside of his creation. And we know that Jesus is that perfect pattern, right? So God's after a family for himself, isn't he? A body for his son, and a temple for his spirit. Amen. And I thought I had this all laid out as usual. And then, this morning when, I had to go use the restroom, and all of a sudden God started talking to me, and he told me, this is where I want you to start. I'm like, all right. And so if you turn with me to 2 Peter, Chapter 3. I'm going to begin here. I thought I was starting somewhere else, but I'm going to start here. Are you with me this morning? Do you love the Lord today? Do you love him with all your heart? Remember, that's the third question. The first question is, God loves you. Do you know that God loves you? Amen? Second question is, do you love God? Amen? But the third question is what? Do you love God with your whole heart? And so if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I like this verse, and this is where God told me to start. Because we always talk about promises, don't we? How many love the promises of God? Well, God really only has one real intent in his promise, right? All the intermediate promises along the way, that God has us on a journey that he's taken us somewhere, isn't he? And the somewhere isn't just a place, is it? The somewhere is himself. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So end is more than time. End is a person. Our issue we have is our minds where we live in time, don't we? And that's when we do that, we end up with questions or statements like this. Or actually, Peter is letting us know. Okay, in verse 9, are you ready? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some of us count slackness. But he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we've been talking about repentance for a while, haven't we? Repentance isn't just for the unbeliever. Repentance is for everyone until we come to the place that God desires. Is that not true? Repentance is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It all depends on your perspective, isn't it? But God is long-suffering, isn't he? He's patient. He He's all these things that we say we want to be when we say we want to be like Him. Amen. So God is merciful in His love to be long-suffering with us so that we can come to the promise, the original intent of His desire from the beginning. So we know that, watch this, we know this, that if He's long-suffering and He's not slack concerning His promise, we know that He has done this in a space and time dimension, hasn't He? And in this space and time dimension, what is He doing, or what is He doing towards us? He's giving us time and space to do something, to repent. Now, if you have struggles with the word repent, I'll make it palatable for us. It just means change the mind. All God wants me to do is change the mind, doesn't He? He gives us the mind of Christ so that we have to, or so that we would think like Him. But the Bible is very clear to me and you. He says to put on the mind of Christ. So in this time of space of repenting or long suffering, He wants us to change our minds. God is doing something. He's working. Turn with me to John chapter 15. This is where I really wanted to start, but God wanted me to let us know, I really do believe this, that God has a promise. And He's not slack concerning His promise. Even though people would say, where is the coming of Jesus? Where is all that? God is not slack concerning His promise as men count slackness. Listen, Peter didn't have an issue with it. Did he? Can I ask the question? Do you? No, I don't. Are you with me? Is everybody with me? So where did I tell you to go? John 15, verse 1, right? Now, are you ready for this? Now we know this is Jesus talking, right? He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Or in other words, He's the gardener. I don't have time to go through. I have so much to do, so much to say today. You could be here until 3 o'clock this afternoon. But I will land this plane earlier than that. Don't want to spoil your Father's Day plans. Are you with me? He's the true vine, and His Father, I love it, it's Father's Day. This is purely a coincidence, right? It's because every day is Father's Day. I'm telling you, He is the gardener. So in this time and space of long suffering, God's growing a plant. No, He's not. He's growing fruit. He already grew the plant. The true vine. And what does He... Oh, and I know the Lord, I need to be nice today, and I am nice, but listen, He does not start off with something positive and encouraging to make my flesh feel good. No, He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. He didn't start with the psychological stuff. He started right off the bat with every branch in me that beareth not fruit. He does what? He takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, He does what? So in other words, if you're not bearing any fruit, it just cut that limb off. Right? I went out to my tree the other day, I told you this, and I said, I can give you all the scenarios of the different types of branches that are hung up in the tree, but a strong wind always blows out dead branches, even if good limbs are holding them up. And we're the branch. He's the vine, the trunk. But you know, I looked the other day and guess what? There was a branch, a big old branch with nothing on it. It does nothing for the tree, so it's time that it needs to be what? Cut out. So if I don't bear fruit, he cuts it off. But if I'm bearing fruit, but not the kind of fruit, or not enough fruit, he does what? He purges it so that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I'm going to tell you what he's really at. Listen, I have so much to do, I don't want to comment. All right, are you with me? Turn with me to, keep your finger right there, and then turn to Luke 8:14 while we're doing this, all right? Keep your finger there. I'm going to drop down to verse 8. It says, "Herein is my Father glorified." How many know that the Father's all about getting glorified? What does he say here? "That you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Did you hear that? Now, where did I tell you to go? Luke 8. Are you ready? Verse 14. "And that which," we're talking about the parable of the seed here, because we're talking about a gardener, right? God planted a seed. "Unless a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it," what? "Abides alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit." Doesn't it? So we know that's Jesus, and we know that's talking about his body. Is that not true? But look what it says here. "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life." This is the best part of the verse. "And bring no fruit to perfection." Much fruit or more fruit is perfect fruit. It's one thing to bring forth fruit, right? But what God really wants to do is bring forth perfect or complete, or better yet, mature fruit. Is everybody with me? Are you on board with me? So what happens in this time space that where God's not slack, right? Because listen, "Unless the Lord build the house, those that labor, they labor in vain." So God's building a house, isn't he? And right in another parable, what God's doing is he's a gardener, isn't he? And Jesus is that corn of wheat, fell on the ground, he died, and now he's the vine. And he's saying this to you and I. He's saying, listen, if you don't bear fruit, I cut you off. But if you bear fruit, I'll purge you. So you can bring forth what kind of fruit? Complete, perfect, or better yet, a more palatable word, mature. We hear the word perfect and immediately we start thinking humanism, and that's not what God's after. God's after his spirit, isn't he? So God's after complete, mature fruit. In other words, he wants to fulfill Romans chapter 8, where it says that he is the firstborn amongst many brethren. He's the head and we are the body. I'll get to that. Are you with me? Is everybody with me? So we understand one thing, that God is desiring something, isn't he? He's desiring to fulfill his promise, and his promise really to mankind. Let's throw out the divot that Adam fell and Jesus came back and became our Savior. That's an absolute must. But if we understand, if Adam never fell, Christ was still coming, and it was to bring forth the perfect fruit of God. Or in other words, a whole humanity that has the nature and the character of God, which was his original plan and purpose from the beginning. Adam messed up, so therefore we need a long-suffering God who's patient. He's a gardener who purges. He's a gardener who prunes. He's a gardener who cuts off, because he still is the one who is going to bring forth his promise. Watch this, in due season or at the right time. Listen, I've never been pregnant before, but I have four children, and I do know this as an absolute fact. You can't make that process speed up, and you can't make that process slow down naturally. Now, I know you can, we've gotten smart, and we can, you know, pick a day and give the, what's it called? The stuff to, what's it? Yeah. Is it not true? Well, God's not using that. He has his own process, doesn't he? How many love the process of the Lord? You have to, because didn't David declare this? He declared this. He said, you make my feet like hinds' feet. And then he turns right around. He says, you make me stand upon a rock. You make me strong. He said, thy ways are perfect. They're complete. They're mature. They're upright. Amen? Turn with me to the book of Ruth. Now, Ruth 1. But before I get started, I'd like to say this. Now, you've all heard me tell this story before. And I have a tendency sometimes to wait to the end to give you the punchline of what the message is going to be and all those kind of things, because I like to read verses. Verses. I'm a Bible guy. I'm a word guy, right? But I want to tell you, I'm not a story guy at all. I mean, I might tell a story occasionally, but I think this story that I've told you many times before, and you've heard it, is because this is what God is trying to get you and I to understand about his promise. How many believe that God gives us a word in the, you know, he can talk to us through the scriptures, but then he sometimes gives explanations to our experiences, right? And most of you do or do not know that I grew up on 19th Avenue at the north end of Port Huron, and I love that house, you know, and I actually have memories of 3 years old, the day my parents went and looked at the house and bought it brand new and everything, and I got married in that, you know, I tell the story. I got married and my parents moved out because God picked up my mom and dad and my sister and moved them to Massachusetts, you know, and the whole works, But 5 years, two kids later, the day came, God said it was time to move. And I didn't want to move. I did not want to move. I did not. I didn't cry, but everybody around me cried. My mom cried. Everybody cried. And we went down into this little old house down at the south end of town, which I didn't like to even drive through the neighborhood, but that's where God put us. He had us there for purpose. Geez, I can go on the countless number of things that happened in that house, both good and bad. One of the greatest things, I just told Steve this story the other day. I was a complainer about all my stuff was old and junk. And I remember saying one day, man, everything I own is junk. And Danielle, about 4 years old, turns to me and says, no, Daddy, you got Jesus. He's not junk. God, I had to repent. God had to cut some limbs off, didn't he? And we moved out of that house 3.5 years later. Jeez, think about it. The people that bought the house was for their mom to put in. Didn't happen. We moved in. They had such good tenants with us that they sold the house after because they couldn't let anybody else live in it after us. That's what God does. He's a blessing God, isn't he? Even though at times it doesn't even look like it. Then we moved into the current house, and I was outside shoveling the snow one cold, freezing winter day, and the Lord said to me, do you miss 2410 19th Avenue? I said, no, God, I'd never go back. I'd never go back. And God spoke this word into me that's penetrated my life forever. And he said, this is what I'm doing in the realm of the Spirit. He said, I'm taking you to a place that you'll never want to go back to the flesh again. Because my promise is in the Spirit, and that Spirit is to make the flesh manifest the invisible, intangible realm. And so therefore, in the midst of his pruning, he constantly is getting me and you to repent from our way of thinking and stop going back to what we were comfortable with and move on to where he's really taking us. Because God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, because all they can see is what they see around them with their natural eye. But it says we will not judge by the eye or by the ear or by the natural senses, but we must move beyond into the realm of God's Spirit. Oh, I'm sorry to our visitor. I get a little cranked up at times, but let me tell you, I'm really, really thrilled that God does things by divine appointments and that He gives us ears to hear by His Spirit, that we would change and fit into His plan and come to a realization that I don't have a plan. Amen? Are you with me? Oh, geez. I just have to read. Are you with me? Let me go there. I don't know about you, but the heat was on somehow, and now it's hot in here. And we can fix that, can't we? Modern technology. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, think about it. How many people like modern technology? Aren't you glad that He didn't set you in this earth 2,000 years ago? I mean, you were able to sleep in a nice, comfortable bed like you and I talked the other day. Kings 2,000 years ago didn't sleep in beds like you and I do today. We can pick up a telephone and text and say Happy Father's Day to anybody we want. We got up and took a shower. God placed us right into the very incubation of life where technology is good. I wouldn't go back to what there was, but yet what He has for us. You remember? Do you remember the revelation God gave me many years ago? First, the radio. We've heard what God has been saying for multiple years, but then all of a sudden a television came where God put a picture on His voice, and the humanity that cries, the creation that groans, God will manifest what He's declared in His promise. And whoever believes it and follows after it, God will purge them, prune them, so that they can bring forth a what? Perfect, mature, complete fruit. Now, I don't have time to go through all this, but we'll just read real quick, all right? And you know, my troubles are is I see too much and I comment way too much. Now, it came to pass in the days of the judges. Now, so you understand the time frame, right? No kings yet, right? And that there was a famine in the land. How many know God sends famines? No, not for bread or water. Jesus is the bread. Jesus is the water. There's no famine, but a famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. So let's think about this. This was a little city in the nation of Judah. Bethlehem. What's special about Bethlehem? Can anything good come out of Bethlehem? Isn't that what Nathaniel said? Oh, but something great came out. See, there's something special about where God sets you. Are you with me? But there was a famine. And so there was a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Go read that, how Moab came in. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of the sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Ephraimites, which the word Ephraim means what? To be fruitful. Geez, God puts us in a place to be fruitful even if there's a famine. Are you with me? And they came to the country of Moab, which by the way, Moab, how did Moab come about? The daughters got their daddy drunk, laid with them and had babies. Self-producers. Right? And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Uh-oh. And she was left of her two sons. And they took them wives of women of Moab. And the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Interesting how long they were there. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. In other words, she was the only one left. And so watch what she does. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return Repent. Return from the country of trying to make this thing work on my terms. For she heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So in other words, God's not slack concerning his promise. Even if there is a famine, stick it out. Watch. Folks around you might die. They might go on to be with the Lord. But you stay the course and stay focused regardless of what everybody else is doing. Are you with me? Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was. So in other words, she got up and started heading back, didn't she? And her two daughter-in-laws were with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. So both of them were on their way, weren't they? And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. In other words, go back. Interesting, didn't say daddy's house, said mama's house, the place of the soul. Amen? The Lord deal kindly with you as he has dealt with the dead and with me, as you have dealt with the dead and me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest. Because listen, that's what they're looking for. Each of you in the house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. And they said to her, now listen, the response was by both of them, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Folks are always going to tell you they're going to travel with you. Isn't that true? Man, this is the best place I ever saw in my entire life. That's what people say when they show up. But then when God starts pruning and processing, and it's the little foxes that do what? Spoil the vine. It's not the big things, right? In the book of Daniel, it says that the enemy will come and wear us out with peaceable flatteries or subtleties. It's not the big problems, is it? Are you with me? Why? I don't want to lose sight. God has a promise, right? Doesn't he? He wants to fulfill. He wants to bring forth fruit, but much fruit or complete fruit or fruit that's brought to perfection. And how does he do that? He prunes. He cuts off. He prunes. He's a gardener. I like how he says, my father, the gardener. Don't you? But what do they say? Surely we will return with thee to your people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Now, if you know the principle, right? If the husband dies, then the wife goes to the next brother on the way down. And so I don't want to get into all that, all right? There's a reason for all that, but I don't have time this morning, okay? Would you tarry? Watch what she says to him. Would you wait until they're grown up? Would you stay not getting married until? She said, no, you won't. I didn't even give him a chance to answer because the answer would have been politically correct, yes. But the reality is always not really. Forgiveth me much for your sakes, and that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and they wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. Now Orpah means mane, which speaks of the neck, which always speaks of the will. The mind, the will, the emotion. Are you with me? And she said, Ruth said, behold, thy sister-in-law, Orpah, is gone back. Watch where she went back to. Her people and her gods, or her type of religion, return thou after thy sister-in-law. Did you hear that? And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you live or dwell or lodge, I will lodge there, and your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. So we now see a picture here that one was willing to go back to the place of comfort, ease. But the other said, listen, watch what she keeps saying. You ready? Where you die, I'll die. And where you're buried, Christ, the Lord do so to me also, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking to her. I find that very interesting. Some people you can talk into leaving real easy. But other people, because they know what you have, will never go. And finally, you come to a point you understand what they're really after. Now, listen, you're going to miss what God's really trying to get you and I to understand is He wants you and I to leave the realm of the flesh and live in the realm of the Spirit. Watch this. Better yet, walk, as Galatians says, in the realm of the Spirit. Listen, while everybody's waiting to go to heaven, Jesus said, I'm in heaven right now, while He was standing on the earth. I can understand that in type, but I've not yet experienced that. We've been like John. We've run to the tomb. We outran Peter. But our experience of this life has not yet caught up so that we can enter into the two together. Watch this. A face, a TV, put to a radio, a sound. Are you with me? And watch what... So then they went back to Bethlehem and it came to pass. Watch what Naomi says. She said, don't call me Naomi. Which, by the way, do you know what Naomi means? It means pleasant. But call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Almighty had dealt with me very bitterly. I'd like to get into all that, but I don't have time because then it will derail from what I'm trying to say this morning. But let me tell you something. When you leave a place where God wants you, right, the realm of the Spirit, we end up like the foolish Galatians, you who began in the Spirit, why do you think you'll become perfect or complete or mature by the ways of the flesh? Or in other words, doing things your way. Can you hear what God's saying? Can you? Because what He's really trying to get you and I to understand is, listen, I took you out of that life to bring you into my life. Amen? Now, are you with me? Can you hear what God's saying? He wants to bring fruit to perfection. And He's not slack concerning His promises. He cuts off and He prunes. Two different operations. Watch this. Two different branches. Can I say it again? What was Paul's biggest fear? That God would cut him off. Right? He said that I would not be a castaway, forfeit the prize. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy 24. Now I want you to think about this while we're reading these verses. What are we thinking about? What's the thing for today? He's going to bring forth mature fruit. But we must return to the Lord, right? Oh, by the way, that's the title of my message, Return to the Lord. Well, I have the Lord. No. You're misunderstanding. You misunderstand. When I say return to the Lord, what He wants you and I to do is to go all the way. Because watch, Orpah and Ruth walked with Naomi along the path headed back to Judah, Bethlehem, Judah. But at some point, there was a fork in the road. Actually, it was more than a fork. It was a straight line with a U-turn. God doesn't have U-turns. He auto-corrects us, but He doesn't tell us to turn around. The only time you'll ever see anything with a return, it's always a return back to God, not back to where you came from. Where did we come from? Can I make it easy for you? Where did you come from? Adam. And he brought you over into Christ. And therefore, when you come into Christ, he said, put on the mind of Christ. Put on Christ. Put on. Lay hold. Do all these things in Christ. But whatever you do, don't go back. Because if you go back to the flesh, we won't produce the fruit of the Spirit. All we'll have is a doctrine, a false. Well, we read it the other night, right? You know, I said that the other night. You can't have false truth, but you can have false love. You can have false hope, false faith. Watch this. Jesus said you can have false Christ. And I always liken that to false Christians. I don't want to be one of them. I don't want to be all talk and no action. Are you with me? See, while everybody thinks a false Christ is standing up, but I'm telling you, go read what it says about what the Antichrist says. Anti means instead of. It's just anything that I say or do or think or act that's instead of Christ. And I don't want to get weird on you, but listen, people make it out to be a bunch of nonsense. But I'm here today to tell you, I'm just a vessel for the Father's heart, that he is drawing us to himself. That, listen, he's taken everything that he paid the price for to redeem, to bring it to a reality of maturity and perfection or completeness, whatever you want to call it, that makes you feel good. Now, are you with me? When a man hath taken a wife, and he's married her, and it comes to pass, she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of the house. And when she is departed out of the house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hates her and writes her a bill of divorce and gives it in her hands and sends her out of the house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled, and you know what that's talking about. For that is, here's the key, that is a what? To who? You know, literally in around 1990, I had this conversation with a man, and he began to ask me this question, and I said, I don't know the answers to it. I just got it Tuesday. I understand what God's trying. I mean, 1990, that's 25 years it took for God, because he's not slack concerning his promises. He speaks a word in due season, in due time. It took 25 years for me to get to an understanding of these verses, and here's what it is. It's an abomination to you. It's an abomination to the Lord if you and I go back to our former husband, Adam, who sent us out of his house because we no longer wanted to follow his rules. And we married another Christ. But if we go back, it's an abomination to the Lord. Watch this. He said it's idol worship. So what's he doing? He's not slack concerning his promises, is he? He's growing a garden. And he cuts us off when we go back because we can't produce fruit of Christ. It's fruit of Adam. Did you hear what he said? Preacher, what's your message today? Watch this. Then watch this. It's an abomination of the Lord. Watch this. Watch this. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God gives thee for an inheritance. Now we know the land is what? Christ. Right? The land that flows with milk and honey is Christ. Is it not? We've made going back to the former husband, Adam, in the worldly church today, totally acceptable. So therefore, the land has become an abomination to the Lord. Now, I know that's a dead, sounds like a, you know, that's a that's tough. Well, listen, I'm telling you, God's after something. He's cutting off dead things. He's cutting off dead branches, but he's cutting off dead things on even the limbs or branches that produce fruit. Because his desire is to bring forth, God's heart's desire is to bring forth much fruit or mature fruit or complete fruit. And if I can't say one thing to us today, that if you can't get the Father's heart or desire of his understanding, is this: he took us from Adam and he brought us into Christ. And he brought us over into this place that we would grow up. Turn with me. You ready? Turn with me. There's too much here. I got to get it moving. Luke chapter 17. Are you okay this morning? Do you love the Lord this morning? Luke 17. Are you there? Now, it's still hot in here, isn't it? Are you with me? Luke 17. Now, watch this. Verse 26, okay? Now, if you want to say, well, you know, that was, you know, those are good. Now, listen, the Bible says, right? These were examples for you and I. Go to the book of Jude, go to the book of Romans, go to Timothy, go wherever, you know. I don't have to tell you these things. But listen to this. Verse 26, as it was... Now, he's talking about the coming of the Son of Man, right? And by the way, what is the coming of the Son of Man? It's God bringing fruit to maturity. Hello? Do I believe in a literal return of Jesus? Yes! But he can't show up until the Bible says this. Oh, I'm going to read that in a minute. If you give me a second, I will read it. See, we need to know our Bibles. The problem is there's so many boy teachers, right? So many teachers not teaching the full gospel. They want to keep you, watch this, back in the Passover feast, which is just repentance from dead works. They just want you to live in the blood of Jesus, but they don't understand. But the blood has to go all the way to the mercy seat, which is the third court of God, which is the third day of God, which is the maturity of God. Are you with me? So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Watch this. How many days ago was that? If Peter wrote a year or a thousand years is like a day with the Lord and a day like a what? Thousand years. It just seems to me it was just the day after yesterday if we've gone 2,000 years. See, now I count time, but God doesn't. Are you with me? What were they doing? They ate, they drank, married wives, given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the promise came. Now, flood was just water, right? And where did the ark go in the midst of all the branches that couldn't produce anything? What happened? They were getting cut off. But the ark, the Bible says, was on top of the water. Come on, let the water, let the word lift you up above all the trials and tribulations, above all the heartaches, the sorrows, above, watch this, all the good that you had in your past. Because it's still the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are you with me? And it destroyed them all. Likewise, also in the days of Lot, they did what? Eat, drank, bought, sold, planted, and they built. Right? But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained what? Fire and brimstone from. And, geez, it cut them all off again. What a mean God. No, he's trying to bring forth fruit that's mature. He's not gonna... Ooh, I almost said something nice. Are you with me? Watch this. In the day in which shall be... He which shall be upon where? The housetop. And his stuff in the house. Let him not... come down to? And he that is in the, let him not return back. Don't go back. Do you understand what he's trying to get the point across here to us? Are you with me? Watch this. Remember Lot's wife. Do you know why Lot's wife looked back? That's where she was born. That was the place of her nativity. It was Orpah's problem. And everybody will talk about Lot's two daughters that got him drunk and made him have a childbearing party, right? But I'm going to tell you what. They left daughters and sons-in-laws down in that city. And she looked back because she longed for the place, didn't she? Now watch this. He said, remembers Lot's wife. Watch this. This is really what I want to get. Whosoever shall seek to save his suke life, the mind, will, and emotional life, right? The natural life, shall do what? Lose it. It'll get cut off. And whosoever shall let God prune them, he shall what? Bring forth much fruit. I tell you, watch this. I never caught this till yesterday. I tell you that in that night there shall be two, in italicized it says men, but you can leave it out if you want, if you have a problem with that. Two men in one bed, that's really the place of comfort, a lifestyle of comfort, okay? It's an outer court experience. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be working in the field, or working at the mill, right? Doing what God wants. One shall be taken and the two men shall be in the... The one shall be, as in the days of Noah and in with Lot, who was left and who was taken? Noah didn't go anywhere. It's the unrighteousness. Are you with me? Noah went nowhere, neither did Lot. Well, wait, Lot got taken. No, listen, you're missing the whole point. Who remained were the righteous. And I know Lot has problems, and you know you can argue that till the cows come home, but God's not interested in arguing that. He's trying to get you and I to understand something. Watch this. Are you ready? And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? Watch this. And he said unto them, wheresoever the body or the carcass, the dead things, there will the eagles, and the real word is vultures, be. There's a lot of vultures, preachers, who like to fly around. And you know, they can scent dead things from miles away. They can scent dead people, ungodly preachers, from miles away. And they know how to go get the meal they're after. But I'm here to tell you, God's got a promise. If you and I don't go back, but if we go forward, if we don't U-turn, we stay on course and let him correct us. Because listen, there may be a famine in Bethlehem, Judah, but God will bring bread, maturity at the right time. Are you with me? Can you hear the word of the Lord this morning? I'm telling you, I said this was a message for the ages, didn't I? And what I know most people think about time, but the reality is it's for whatever age you are. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 500 years old. This is a message for all ages that we can't turn back. We must return to the Lord. Out of God we came, unto God we return. That was, well, you know, that's when we die. If that's what you choose, so to speak. Are you with me? I love you. Luke 8. I got to get moving. Luke 8. You like this, Beck? I thought you would. We can't go back, can we? We'll die if we go back. We get cut off, don't we? You ready? Watch this. Verse 13. They, talking about the seed again. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. But they don't have any root. For which for a while they'll believe. But in the time of or testings, they do what? Fall away. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. I'm just reading Bible, okay? Are you with me? Are you with me? Oh, I love the Lord. I don't know about you, but this is a liberating message that God has a promise that He's not slack to. And that He's willing to, watch this, He's willing to prune everything in my life that is not profitable for the kingdom of God. And oh, it may hurt at the moment. It's not grievous to be disciplined or trained by the Lord. Hey, don't despise His chastenings, but embrace them. Listen, I literally can understand this now. Listen, everything I've been through for the last 25 years, I now can look back. The only thing I can do is look back and count it all joy that through diverse temptations that God is bringing me to the promise of what He has purposed from the beginning. Every single jot and tittle must be signed up in its proper place in order for God to bring forth the fruit that when He looked down through the porthole of time and He said, I see you, Dale Leonard Fraser. I'll mark you with myself. Just yield and don't return to anything but me. And I'll fulfill every promise that I ever declared. Are you with me? I stand here today. I stand here today thinking about the prophetic word. One of the first ones I ever got in my entire life. He said, I'll bring forth your voice like a hammer, bursting the rock of humanity that would say, where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I'll tell you where He is. It's easy. He's not behind us. Where most folks are saying, hey, God, show me the glory. He only showed Moses the hinder parts. But I'm here to tell you there's much more than what was done in the past. Our future that lies ahead of us in the present day now is all that God has promised. I may never get there because I might not have time. But watch this. If you want to know what that means, this is what Jesus said. I went through the veil of the flesh. See, we still have a veil because we see things darkly or not quite clear. But like it says, everybody loses sight of 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter. Oh, God, don't get me off on that. But I'm telling you, He says, but that which is done in part, when it is made perfect or complete. Watch this. Everything else is done away with. Do you miss 2410 19th Avenue? I don't, God, because where you brought me, it's much greater than going back. And though I'm only talking about a natural house, He's trying to get me to understand something in the Spirit. He's trying to get me to understand there's an experience. I can tell you this, I wasn't the best of kids when I was growing up, and I would never go back to where I was. I only want to cling or clave unto the things that lie ahead. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. Geez, even God said to His prophet Isaiah, declare to them, watch this. He said, I won't remember your past anymore. And I might be a little crazy, but I had this thought, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. God, could there ever come a time that we won't even remember this life? Because you've brought us so far into yourself. Whoa, you're way out there. You're spooky. Let me tell you, God is right here. But I can't see Him. Everybody thinks Jesus walked through walls. The Bible doesn't even say that at all. He's omnipresent. And He can just show up anywhere, anytime He decides. He isn't going to use angels to do it. He uses men. Mankind, people. Are you ready? Are you in Hebrews? I'm going to try and wrap this up. Verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles. God, everybody wants to go back to the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to what? Wait a minute. Why is the Father pruning? What's he pruning for? Can I say this? It's not how we start the race. It's how we finish. You can be fast out of the gate. You can believe all along. You receive the word with joy. But somewhere along the line, God's going to bring a test. He's going to make you make decisions in your life. Do I want to go back to my former husband, Adam, or his way? See, you can still... Oh, and God knows. If I go over to Romans chapter 7, listen, if I'm married to one man and married to another, I'm an adulterer, it says. See, we think all these little stories are exactly what they are, just stories. No, no, these are principles that God's trying to get you and I to understand. He says, I've taken you from something because I'm bringing you to someone. And what I'm doing is I'm bringing you to maturity. As long as you rely on yourself, he tells us, we love to quote it, lean not unto your own understanding. People won't like this, but when the Bible says depart from evil, that's not something out there. That's something right here. When I decide I'm going to make my own decisions for my own life, that's the whole point of lose your life. Let me prune it. Okay, leaving therefore the principles of the doctrine, let us go on to perfections, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on the hands of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this will we do if I decide. Jeez, wonder what the teachers are saying this morning. Are you with me? For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and tasted the good word of God and the powers to the world to come, if they shall fall away. To renew them again to what? I'm sorry. I hate reading the Bible. It makes my flesh not like Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you really with me? Come on, are you with me like Orpah, or are you like with me like Ruth today? There's a big difference, isn't there? I have not sweated into a collar of my shirt in years. I'm thinking that God, he's a talking to us today. Are you with me? Verse 57. And remember this, if you want to read verse 56, God didn't come to destroy us, he came to save us. But listen to me. We only get saved under his conditions. Can I say this, Steve? Can I say this seriously? There's a message that exists that God has unconditional love. It's a lie. If God really had unconditional love, he'd have never put a curse on Adam and never corrected him, and we would have never needed a Savior. He'd have just let it go. Now, he has undeserving love. I didn't deserve to get what he did for me. But to say that his love is unconditional would violate his word. He has all kinds of ifs, buts, thens, whats, all kinds of conditional words. But the teachers out there, Jesus said, beware of them. It's the subtlety of Satan that has come with the demons of doctrines to get us to believe that God, watch this, back in the Passover feast is where he wants us, when all along he's trying to get us down into the Feast of Tabernacles, a booth, a house, a temple. Know you not that you are the temple. He came not to kill us or destroy us. He came to save us on his terms. Do you remember Jonathan? He wanted to sit next to David on his terms. He even believed that David had a seat for him. And David would have had a seat for him. He had it seated for him. But he said, no, I'll go back to my daddy's house. And he ended up on a wall of ease, headless and naked. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. And it came to pass, verse 57, that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever you go. And Jesus said, watch this. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man is looking to perfect the promise of the Father. A body for the head. That's what he's wanted. I have a question for you, seriously. Would you put all of your headship and lordship on a lame body? No. I understand in the first two feasts that God bridges the gaps where he's still pruning your life and mine and trying to get us over to this third feast. But as long as I'm willing to stay in these two first feasts and enjoy the pleasures and the love and the lust of them, because over here, like the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they longed back for Egypt. Leave us right here where we're at and we'll raise our families and raise our children and do all the things. But God said no, and they all died because of unbelief. They didn't believe, watch this, that God could really bring them to the promise. And there's the truth or the crux of the whole matter. I'll make decisions for my life because I know, God, you cannot do it the way I want it. I want to stay at 2410 19th Avenue because I'm wonderfully, comfortably, I can have all my family there. But no, I took you out of Adam and I brought you over into Christ. The life that I have for you is far greater than anything you could ever. Because eye hasn't seen, an ear hasn't heard, neither has it even entered into our hearts what God has prepared for them that love him. I'm sorry, I'm a mess today, but I hear God. I'm telling you, he's calling us to return to himself. He's patient. He's long-suffering. He desires that none of us would perish. He desires that we all be saved, that he comes and brings us to the fullness of his promise. Watch this. I'm not done. I'm going to try and stop at 12. Are you ready? I'm sorry. I'm messed up. It's Father's Day. This is my present for you. Are you ready? He said, there's no place for the Son of Man to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. So now one said, I'll follow. But now he's saying, you follow me. And look at what the response is. But he said, Lord, suffer me to go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou, preach the kingdom. Geez, cares of this life won't allow us to bring fruit to perfection. And another said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me go first go bid them farewell, which where? Are at comfort home of my house. Now look what Jesus says here. These are the words of Jesus. I'm just saying that. And Jesus said unto them, no man, no person, right? Having put his hand to the plow, starts the race. Watch this. And doing what? Looking back. Remember Lot's wife? I've been in church all my life. But as an adult, I've watched many people come and many people go. And I've warned for 5 years in this church that nobody is exempt. Have I not? Because what we do as people is look back And the minute we do, watch this. Looking back is what? Fit for the kingdom of God. I'm sorry. I got to read here. I'm almost done. 2 Thessalonians, I'm going to read out of the Amplified. So you can just listen to me. You don't need to try and follow along. Are you ready? The first letter, second letter, where are you? Hey, wait a second. Am I missing some pages? No. Quiet in here this morning. I love you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad God's here. You know what I hear the Lord saying right now? Today, harden not your heart. Because if you hear my voice, obey it. And you know what the Lord showed me? He said, you declare this word and then you tell them in Ezekiel. He said, when you voice this word, you will tell them. Surely they'll know a prophet is among them. Because whether you listen to me or not, God will take these words and make them alive. How do you know that? Because of me? No, because it's his word. Listen, I'm just a vessel. Chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, watch this. But relative to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, everybody's waiting for Jesus to come back, right? The Messiah and our gathering together to meet him, we beg you, brethren, not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed or kept excited or alarmed, whether it be by some pretended revelation of spirit or by the word or the letter alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already arrived and is here. Because some people were preaching, right? The day of the Lord's here already. Some people preach that, even in our circles. Now, I believe it to be here and start, but I'll tell you what, it's not fully manifested. How do you know that? I look in the mirror every day. You'll get that. Watch this, though. Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first. That is, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come, and the man of lawlessness, sin, is revealed, who is the son of doom, of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself. I find that interesting. He not only opposes himself, he exalts himself. Watch, how does he do that? Here we go. Ready? Who opposes himself, exalts so proudly and insolently against and over all that is called God or what is worshiped, even to his actually taking a seat in the temple of God, proclaiming what? That he himself. Okay, I have a question. Where's the seat of God? If the Bible says he sits in the temple, right? Watch this. And he says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, right? He said, I'll dwell in you. I'll write my laws, everything inside of you, right? So where is God's seat? Right here. But if I set myself up like Agag, watch this. Do you not recollect that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Amazing. They now had an issue with the word, yet he told them already before. I wonder how many times we have that problem, that we believe, but all of a sudden something, oh God, don't talk to me about wandering eyes. I got a whole message for that in a couple of weeks. Are you with me? And now you know what is restraining him. Oh, what's stopping Jesus from coming back? From being revealed at this time? It is so that he may be manifested, revealed in his own appointed time. What's your point, preacher? God has a promise. Doesn't he? That he wants to bring fruit to perfection. And he doesn't want anybody to miss out. So therefore, as a gardener, he's going to make sure that his vine, watch, even Jesus said, listen, Father, I've not lost one that you gave me except the son of perdition. Well, wait a minute, what did we just read? The one who decides to make choices about going back instead of going forward. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm all done. Not really, but I'll read it. I'll go there. Hebrews chapter 10. Can I read these while you're turning to Hebrews 10? 2 Peter chapter 2 says, for if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are entangled there again and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That reminds me of the guy that Jesus healed and met him later and said, hey, don't sin anymore, because if you do, I might have healed you, but your latter end's going to be worse. Why? Because God's desire is that we bring forth fruit, not human religious form of doctrine fruit, Christ's life fruit. Can't be in your own way. Because if it is, we're just turning back. Has to be his way. And the sad part is, if you can't even bear some relevance of fruit now, he finds me to be a dead branch. Whew. Forgive me, God. Love you. Do you love the Lord this morning? Come on, do you really? You know what the Lord says? If you love me, you'll obey my voice. Don't turn around, go forward. Press toward the mark, Christ, right? Character. The mark of the prize of the first call. No, upward calling. This thing gets greater. It ascends. It gets better. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning, Ecclesiastes tells us. I have another verse. I can't leave them out. I'm sorry. Don't turn there, but I'm just going to read it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, mind, spirit, and a new earth. Come on. He'll change these vile bodies. Isn't that what it says? Wherein dwells what? Righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, do you look for that? There's the key. Or are you always looking behind? Seeing what you're missing out on or the way it used to be. Geez, I love 2410 19th Avenue. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him. I don't want to be found of anyone but him. In peace, without spot, and blameless. Good God, he's got some pruning to do. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Because he's working, he's pruning. Even as our beloved Paul, brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Geez, I just don't understand why God would make my life uncomfortable. Which they that are unlearned, watch what they do. Which they that are unlearned by false teachers, boy teachers, they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle as they do with other scriptures, throw out half the Bible, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware. Oh my God, he's telling me to beware. Lest you also uh-oh, you mean I could do this too? Being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I started to say this. Wickedness and evil isn't what's out there. It's me making my own decisions apart from God. And watch this, thinking that I am making a godly decision. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Let him get the glory. Okay, I'm almost done. I got to get done in 4 minutes. I'm really sorry. To our visitor, Jody, I'm sorry I'm long today, but they would say I'm long all the time. Are you with me? Hebrews chapter 10, watch this. Therefore, brethren, verse 19, since we have full freedom and confidence to do whatever we want, to enter into the what? Holiest of holies. It's the tabernacle of God. It's the third dimension. It's the realm of the Spirit. We can enter in. But listen, our problem is we've been entering in and coming out. Like the high priest of old, once a year. He wants us to go in and dwell just like Jesus does now. That's why he said the other night, and you liked it, where he is, so are we. Are you with me? Watch this. By the power and the virtue and the blood of Jesus, watch this, by this fresh, new, and living way, which he what? Initiated and dedicated and opened for us through the separating curtain, veil of the holies of holies, that is, through his flesh. That's my whole point right there. Listen, he broke down the door. I can remove this door right here, right? I can remove it. You can come in. You can stand out there. You can come right here. But you have to come in and participate with everything that's inside of there in order to come to maturity or the full promise of God. Are you with me? And since we have such a great, high, and wonderful, noble priest who rules over the house of God, let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts. God, that's a noble idea. In unqualified assurance and absolute conviction. There's the thing. Can you hear me? When God whispered in my ear and I just shared on those four C's, true conviction is sincere because you'll get true repentance out of it. We've removed the altars from the churches and we've made stages for the bands and we've lost the art of repenting with true, sincere hearts. But if we let God prune us and return to him, I guarantee you, he will fulfill. Oh, I'm prophesying to us today. His promise that he has purposed before he ever made man and had the opportunity to fall. Oh, hallelujah. That is by the leaning on of the entire human personality of God, absolute trust, all the way down to, I don't have time. Go read this in the Amplified. Are you ready? I know I need to read it. Verse 34, for you did sympathize and suffer along with those in prison, and you bore cheerfully. He tells you not to forsake the assembly of saints. Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God. Not the will of man, not the will of teachers, not the will of people who think it is. It's the will of God. And thus receive and carry and enjoy to what the full what is promised. For still a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come and he will not tarry or delay. Because some men count that, right? They don't understand that God planted a garden and now he's pruning it. And oh, if you go read the parable of seeds, the wicked one comes and sows in the garden. Why would God let anybody do that? Why didn't God stop Adam? God's a tester because he's after genuine fruit that's mature and pure. But the just shall live by faith, that is, righteous. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things in holy fervor. You can stand up, born of faith and conjoined with it. Watch this. And if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. But our way, oh hallelujah, aren't you glad? But our way is not that of those who draw back to eternal misery, perdition, and are utterly destroyed, but we are those who believe, who cleave to and trust in, just like Ruth, cleave to, trust in, rely on God through Jesus Christ the Messiah, and by faith, because we walk by faith and not by sight, even to the preserving of the soul. What did Jesus say? He said, I'll give rest to your soul. Didn't he? I'm sorry I was long-winded today. And I pray to God that the people that are going to listen to this message will understand that God didn't just give us this word just to preach a nice message, to have a nice sermon. That I really believe like there's an Elijah ministry today that says to repent. Jesus said this. He said, I send the spirit of Elijah. And he says to do what? Repent and make ready or prepare the way of the Lord. Isn't that what it says? And this morning I hear God. Listen, I am not the only one preaching this message. That God has 7,000 who have not bowed the knee, watch this, to Baal. Does anybody want to know what Baal means? Another husband. I love you, Jesus, that your promises are yea and amen. That all I have to do is surrender and yield to you and let you cut off everything that does not belong. And in the process of producing fruit, God, that you bring it to perfection, to maturity, to clarity. That we, like Paul, can declare, I know, I'm not blowing my own trumpet today. But I'm here because God sent prophets. He sent the word of the Lord that he said, listen, son, there's a remnant for you and that you shall produce exactly what I've declared. So give it to them and I will produce it and multiply it. And I'll bring forth your voice. God, we're not those that draw back. We won't rebel against the heavenly vision. Because more than just our life staked at 2015 at this part in time, I'm here to tell you, God, you've taken us from Adam and you've brought us into Christ. And the end of a thing is better than where we started this thing, God. So God, I pray today for this people and every single person that hears my voice. I even ask God for those that have fallen away, that the mercy hounds of heaven would chase them down, that God, it would cause them to turn from their ways and come back to you so that you may fulfill all of your word. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a great vision in God that even if he cuts off a limb, if it's possible, he can raise it up and graft it back into the vine. So I pray today, God, today, if we hear your voice, that we harden not our hearts and take the chance. Because even the son of perdition, he said, it would have been better that he was not born. I love you. And I pray today that the Christ that lives within us has full freedom and reign to do whatever he desires. I declare these things. Oh, Jesus, I'm the happiest man in the whole wide world, whether you realize it or not. I am. I'm more content than I've ever been in my whole entire life. Why? Because I'm doing what God wants me to do. Let the name of the Lord be exalted. Amen and amen. Hey, hallelujah.